chapter 7, testing the pillars. So far, we have looked at the two main commands of Christ on which the doctrine of non-accumulation is built. One, lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth. And two, sell that you have and give alms, give to the poor. But how do these two commands stand up when we compare them with the rest of the New Testament? Does it still seem biblical to say that they are to be taken literally? Or do other scriptures balance them out enough to prove that they don't quite mean what they seem to be saying? A number of other passages help to give us some answers to these questions. What did John the Baptist teach? John came preaching repentance, warning people to flee from the wrath to come, and urging them to bring forth fruits worthy of repentance. But the people wondered, what are these fruits of repentance? Here is John's answer in part. He that has two coats, let him impart unto him that has none. And he that has meat, let him do likewise. Luke 3:11. I wonder how many of us, if asked to list the evidences of true repentance, would include this action in our list. This verse also gives us some clues regarding the question of to what extent should we obey Luke 12:33. Does the command mean that we may not own anything at all? Are we somehow supposed to renounce our ownership of the very shirt on our back? No, says John, but rather give away that portion of your possessions that is in excess of what you need. Yes, that does require us to make a judgment call. What did the church in Acts teach? If a command as radical as Luke 12:33 were really meant to be taken literally, it seems logical that we would have some sort of record of this command being put into practice by the first Christians. Here are a couple of passages that might throw some light on what the early church believed about the command to sell and give. And all that believed were together, and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, as every man had need. Acts 2:44-45. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them, and brought the prices of the things that were sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made to every man according as he had need. Acts 4:34-35. But, I can hear some responding, this practice didn't continue long. This was a short-term situation that took place only during this transition period. Although I've heard this claim numerous times, I don't really see how it could be proven with Scripture. But even if it could, that doesn't address the real question. The real question is whether the Luke 12:33 command is meant to be taken literally or not. These Christians believe so, and were doing their best to put it into practice in one way or another. Do we have the freedom to do any less? What other examples of obedience to Luke 12:33 do we have? Zacchaeus in Luke 19:1-10. Jesus said that salvation had come to Zacchaeus' house. What evidence had he seen that this was true? It was, in part, his obedience to Luke 12:33. The poor widow in Luke 21:1-3. Most financial counselors would say that this widow was extremely irresponsible for her obedience to Luke 12:33. Yet Jesus commended her for it. This account also gives us some important insight about how God measures the size of our gift. Whereas we humans tend to look at the dollar amount given, it appears that God looks instead at the amount we have left over after the gift. The Macedonians, 2 Corinthians 8:1-5. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yes, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord, and unto us by the will of God. What other commands did Christ give? Take therefore no thought of the morrow, for the morrow shall take care for the things itself. Matthew 6:34. Give to every man that asks of you, and of him that takes away the goods, ask them not again. Luke 6:30. And if any man will sue you at law and take away your coat, let him have your cloak also. Matthew 5:40. But love your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. Luke 6:35. But rather, give alms of such things as you have, and behold, all things are clean unto you. Luke 11:41. Whosoever he be of you that forsakes not all that he has, he cannot be my disciple. Luke 14:33. Freely you have received, freely give. Matthew 10:8. What did Paul teach? For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man has, and not according to that he has not. For I mean not the other men be eased, and you be burdened, but by an equality, that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, and their abundance also may be a supply for your want, that there may be equality. As it is written, he that has gathered much had nothing over, and he that had gathered little had no lack. 2 Corinthians 8:9-15. But this I say, he which sows sparingly shall also reap sparingly, and he which sows bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor. His righteousness remains forever. 2 Corinthians 9:6-9. While by the experiment of this ministration they glorify God of your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal distribution unto them, and unto all men. 2 Corinthians 9:13. These Christians knew that true subjection to the gospel of Christ included practicing the kind of generosity commanded in Luke 12:33. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Galatians 6:10. Can we honestly say that we have done good as we have opportunity, if we have money parked permanently in a savings account or retirement plan at the same time that there are needy people in the world? Can we honestly say that we have done good as we have opportunity, if we have money parked permanently in a savings account or retirement plan at the same time that there are needy people in the world? But godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be there with content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But you, O man of God, flee these things. 1 Timothy 6:6-11. The Christianity of Paul's day required men to err from the faith if they wanted to covet after money. The Christianity that we've developed allows men to covet after money and still consider themselves to be in the faith. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. 1 Timothy 6:17-18. In other words, charge them to be willing to obey Luke 12:33. But what is the purpose for their obedience to Luke 12:33? Laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. 1 Timothy 6:19. What do the scriptures say about those who are poor? There is a widely held belief that because it's just as possible for a poor person to be greedy for money as it is for a rich person, there is no real benefit to being poor. What do the scriptures say about this? He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Luke 4:18. Blessed be you poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Luke 6:20. Has not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he has promised to them that love him? James 2:5. What do the scriptures say about those who are rich? Another popular belief maintains that it's okay for a Christian to be rich as long as he doesn't get too attached to his riches. Do the scriptures bear this out? He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. Luke 1:53. But woe unto you that are rich, for you have received your consolation. Luke 6:24. But Abraham said, Son, remember that you in your lifetime received your good things, and likewise Lazarus, evil things. But now he is comforted, and you are tormented. Luke 16:25. Did you ever ask yourself what exactly was the sin of the rich man in Luke 16? And what was the reason he ended up in the torments of hell? Although we could speculate about many possible reasons, the one listed in the preceding verse is the only one mentioned in the scripture. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Matthew 19:24. If we really believe this verse, we would have to recognize what tremendous harm we are doing our children by trying to leave them financially wealthy. Go to now, you rich men. Weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. You have heaped up treasure together for the last days. You have lived in pleasure on the earth, and been wanton. You have nourished your hearts as in a day of slaughter. James 5:1-3, and verse 5. It's worth noting that the riches mentioned in this passage are heaped together assets, as opposed to income simply passing through a person's hands. Jesus warns us in Matthew 6:19 that this kind of laid up riches will become vulnerable to moth and rust. And that is exactly what has happened here. This rust, in turn, will rise up against the owner as a witness that he has violated the commandment of Christ. They that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare. But you, O man of God, flee these things. 1 Timothy 6:9 and 11. Because you say, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and know not that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Revelation 3:17.